We're talking about the names of God this morning, that the name represents the person. Think of any person in your life, any name of a person you know, and you think about who that person is and what they've done. What do you think of when you think of Donald Trump? We think of the hair. We think of the buildings. As you go down the West Side Highway or the Henry Hudson Highway in New York City, you see all of the buildings on the left-hand side when you're heading south that say Trump. You think of Trump Towers. If you're going down the Taconic Parkway, you'll see a golf course with his name on it. So you think of a lot of things when you think of Donald Trump. You can think of his tweets. You could think of what his friends report. You could think of what his opponents report. But your mind is not blank when you hear the name Donald Trump. Something always comes to mind. Maybe something that he's done in the past, maybe something that he's doing in the present, maybe about a hope or a fear of something that he might do in the future. But the name represents the person. So as we think about the names in the Bible, you think of Naomi's sons. And sometimes I wonder, as I think of them, when did she actually name them? Because a lot of times we put our hopes and our dreams into the names of who we name our children. Her sons, Mahlon, Ruth's husband, his name meant infirmity. And Chilion meant failing. Now I wonder when she named them. Perhaps after a few years for Mahlon, he might have been a sickly child. So she named him Infirmity. Maybe Chilion after a few years in school. Or maybe it was his health that was failing. Someone put on the internet recently that mothers are being encouraged now to call their baby like Baby Norland or Baby Dor or Baby Bly until they're 4 years old. Maybe that's what Naomi did. Because looking forward to the future, you wouldn't call your child sick or dying. But that's what we would call these kids today, sick or dying. In our case, instead of Michael, which means gift of God, maybe we would have called him Croupy. No, we still want to call him Michael because, you know, that has a lot of good meaning to it. But names change through the years. Judas in the Bible, the literal translation means praise. But now when we call someone a Judas, what do we say? Betrayer or betrayal. His name has come to mean something totally different. Or Delilah, who was the one who tempted Samson, originally meant loving. But now, temptress. So names change. And people, of course, can change their name. When Mona went to get her enhanced driver's license, we not only had to get her birth certificate, we also had to get a marriage license to show that her last name was changed from Driscoll to Norland. So names change. So the first name that we're going to look at this morning for God is Yahweh or Jehovah. The literal translation is I am. Moses said to God, who told him to go to the Israelites in Egypt, he said, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Now, many people translate that to mean I am the self-existent one. I am. In fact, the Israelites had such veneration for that name that they wouldn't say it. They've forgotten how to say it. When they look at Yahweh or Jehovah, they say Adonai. So in English, some people take the vowels from Adonai and put it for the consonants in Jehovah and come up with Jehovah. Others say that's probably not the vowels that were used, but the vowels were probably those that we have in the word that we use, Yahweh. But for whatever reason, we don't have the vowels that go along with the consonants to make up that word. So we don't know how to say it. Yahweh, Jehovah, or some other meaning. One of my Sunday school teachers years ago said that the translation for that word could be, I am who you will find me to be. I am the self-revealing one, the one who revealed himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I like that, because through the Bible, we have ways that God has revealed himself to the people in the Word of God. He's always revealing himself. Elohim is another name for God. We read about him in Genesis 1:1 and in Psalm 19:1. He is your creator, is what the word means, Elohim. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When I was preparing the message, I was thinking, which one should come first? And I at first thought Elohim should come first because it's the first used in the Bible. But then I thought, God as revealer, Yahweh, or Jehovah should come first. And then how he revealed himself. I am your creator. I am the one who created all things. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. All we have to do is lift our eyes up to see the beauty of the mountains that surround us. Last night, Mona and I took our paddle boards up to Second Pond. And we were out for just a few minutes because it wasn't too long before that thunderstorm started to come through. And I said, Mona, we better get out of here. And so we did. Hopefully there'll be no thunderstorms today. But the beauty of the Grafton Lakes, the beauty of the Taconic Mountains, we're not tempted to worship the lakes or the mountains or the eagles that someday fly by. But we worship the God who created all of those things. And he is Elohim. That's how he revealed himself to us. He is our creator. And then we have a beautiful passage in Genesis chapter 16, where Hagar is run out of home with her little boy, totally abandoned, and God reveals himself to her. I am who you will find me to be. And Hagar said, he is the God who sees. Not a name that God chose for himself, but a name that a believer chose for God. My God sees. Thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, you are the God who sees me. She also said, have I truly seen the one who sees me? What a wonderful tribute it is from Hagar, this Egyptian maiden who was driven out of her home, away from her family. And God revealed himself to her. He didn't say, "I am the God who sees." But she said, "You are the God who sees me. God, I am who you will find me to be, is El Roy, the God who sees." I was wondering, as I read that passage, are we free to name him? And there are over 500 names like this for God in the Old Testament and Jesus in the New Testament, including the bread of life, I am the door. I am all of those I am passages, the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. All of those passages from the book of John. Names. Some that Jesus chose for himself. Others. How about the beloved from the Song of Solomon? I am my beloved's. El Roy. Hagar's name for our God. Jehovah Jireh. From Genesis 22:14, when Abraham brought Isaac up into the mountain of sacrifice, taking the knife and ready to plunge it into his son, and God stopped him. And as they traveled up the hill, up the mountain, Isaac said, "Where is the sacrifice? We have the fire. We have the wood. Where is the sacrifice?" Abraham said, "God will provide." And so in Genesis 22:14, we read, "So Abraham called that place, 'The Lord will provide.' And to this day it is said, 'On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided.'" Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Have you found him to provide for all of your needs? Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals you. He said, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Why do we pray for all of those people on our list? Why do we have others that we pray for that are not on that list who need healing? Because we believe God still answers prayer for healing. That God still heals. And he tells us in Luke chapter 9, verse 2, "Preach the gospel and heal the sick." And we've only scratched the surface on either one of those. He is the God who healeth thee. Another name, Yahweh Shalom, the Lord of peace. Gideon had a God experience. He came into the presence of God himself, and he was fearful that he would die. And the Lord said to him, "Peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die." Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, "The Lord is peace." You see, some of those names are given by God, and some are given by people to God or about God. Because he is the God, we will find him as he reveals himself to us. We find out more about him. We have experienced his peace. El Elyon, God Most High, or he is your sovereign. from Psalm 7, 17. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. El Elyon. El Shaddai, God Almighty, from Psalm 91:1, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. What is the importance of these names? It comes with the importance of the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. As I mentioned, Mona was getting her enhanced driver's license, and she had to get a copy of our marriage license because she had changed her name from Driscoll to Norland. When we become a Christian, we take on the name of Christ. I am a Christian as Mona is a Norland. And that comes with rights and it comes with responsibilities. I can take the name Christ in vain. And that doesn't mean when I get upset shouting out Jesus Christ. That means taking the name Christian without living like one. I remember years ago, the Dean of Men up at Word of Life told the story of a man and wife who were on their way to their honeymoon. And his wife said, honey, I want you to take me home. And he said, no, we're going on our honeymoon first, and then we'll go back to our apartment that we have all set up and ready. She said, no, I don't want to go to that apartment. I want to go to my parents' home. I want to go back to my old friends and my own family. I want to live my life the way I lived it before we were married. And occasionally, maybe on a Sunday morning, we can get together for a picnic. Or we can go out paddleboarding. Or we can go out to dinner. And if I have any needs, I'll give you a call. If I need money, I'll give you a call and you can provide for that need. Or if I go to the hospital, you can come and visit me and take care of me until I'm better again and able to continue on with my... Isn't that the way so many Christians treat their relationship with Jesus? It's a once-a-week thing. I go to church on a Sunday morning and I fulfill my obligation. And then I just about live my life the way I've always lived it, even before I came to know Jesus as my Savior. That's what it means to take the name of Christ in vain. We need to learn that he wants to be a part of our lives. That he wants us to be a part of his life. Oh, that we might be able to call him as the woman in the Song of Solomon said, he is my beloved. My heart longs for him. As the deer pants for water, so my heart panteth after thee, O God. Jesus. Jesus. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Remember I said, some names are chosen by God. Some names are names that we've given to him. Jesus, Savior, was a name that the Father gave through the angel to be our Savior. A name chosen by God himself, Jesus. What have you found him to be in your life? El Shaddai, I have found him to be Almighty. El Elyon, I've found that in my life he is sovereign, that he is in control. Yahweh Shalom, I have experienced, and even in the darkest of times, his peace. El Shaddai, I have found him to be almighty. Yahweh Shalom, he is my peace. Yahweh Rapha, I have experienced his healing in my life. Jehovah Jireh, God has provided for all my needs. El Roy, when I have nothing else, I know that God sees me. And Elohim, he is my creator. He owns me, and I belong to him. Jesus, Savior, we come to his table this morning, realizing that he's given himself to us. He said, this is my body. This is my blood, which is given for you. He said, do this in remembrance of me until I come. And so we come to his table, having found out who he is. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. And I should not be content, but I should find out who he is more and more in my life every day, because he continues to reveal himself to me.